our series for this month, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, by learning the thought of the Chazon Ish. I want to make a couple points by way of Hakdama, and then we can focus on tonight's topic. In general, the Chazon Ish's main contribution has nothing to do with Machshava, and this is a slot in which we normally talk about Torah and Machshava. The main contributions of the Chazon Ish are certainly in the world of Gemara / Halacha. That's what he does primarily, and that is his main area of impact. As far as the Chazon Ish in the world of Machshava, there are a couple Sfarim that we're going to have to rely on. We're going to rely a lot on, a bit on the Sefer Emunah Bitachon. Chazon Ish, he did not finish the work, we don't have all of it, of Emunah Bitachon, of the Chazon Ish. It's a smaller kuntris. And then there's two volumes of letters, Kovetz Igros, of the Chazon Ish. Those letters are heavily edited. You do not have a lot. You have a lot of like the three lines. What's that called? The three dots?
Ellipses.
Exactly. And then you have, you don't have dates. You don't know always which two. The background isn't always that clear. And therefore, it's a little bit challenging sometimes. Those are the primary source of the Chazon Ish. There are a couple works written about the Chazon Ish that are very important. We're going to quote a lot tonight from the Sefer Maisa Ish, Pe'er Hador. Those are biographies written by Talmidei HaChazon Ish that are very important. There was a very important work. Dr. Benny Brown wrote a 700 or 800 page book on the Chazon Ish that is an academic book. It's very, very impressive as far as taking the Chazon Ish, and it'll hopefully give us a lot of insight. What we're going to talk about tonight is the Chazon Ish on the State of Israel. It's not classically the discussion that you have in a Hesder Yeshiva as you are preparing for Yom HaAtzmaut. Let me try to give a little bit of context and hopefully can give us insight into where people are at on this. In general, when you speak about relationship to the State of Israel, so the extremes are much easier to understand. The Mahalach that of Neturei Karta and Satmar may be one that we very much reject, but I can't say that it's so complex to understand. They view the State of Israel as being a Maisa Satan. They view it as being something which is terrible. Because it's terrible, it's something which can be Ma'akiv the Geula. The Satmar Rebbe even goes so far to blame the Holocaust in a certain sense on some of these things, and it's very difficult for us to accept, and we reject it, I think, very strongly. But he's looking at Eretz Yisrael and saying Eretz Yisrael, the Medina, is something which is terrible, and therefore we're not going to, it's going to impact in practice also. We're not going to vote, we're not going to take money from the government, we're going to try to even get rid of the state or whatever we can in certain ways. And there are nuanced differences between elements in Neturei Karta and Satmar and Old Neturei Karta, New Neturei Karta, but that's the one Mahalach. The other extreme is the Mahalach that we are probably most familiar with, and that's the Mahalach which is much more Zionistic. Now, you do have differences here between the world of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook and Rav Soloveitchik. In the world of Rav Tzvi Yehuda, you're dealing with Eschalta de Geula in a very powerful way. The Medinat Yisrael, the Arz Chus, to live in the State of Israel, is something which is in many ways going to be what is the first step. It's going to lead us towards an eventual redemption. It's viewed as part of the messianic process. That's very, very powerful, and obviously it's going to lead you to a very different kind of orientation to the State of Israel. You're going to try to contribute to it, you're going to try to build it, you're going to try to do whatever you can to support it, you're going to daven for its continued success. Rav Soloveitchik, also in the Zionist camp, we spoke about a couple of years ago, we had Shirim, we really tried to pin down these approaches. The Rav was much more, at least one way of saying it, the way many understand him, was more of a pragmatic Zionist. It is less of a messianic, redemptive quality to our state. It is more that it, Tachlis, provides a lot of very, very good things, and therefore it's good, and therefore we want to be supportive of the state and invest in it. Does it have the same kind of geula, kind of a mitzvah? So maybe not. We're not going to focus on that the same way. We'll focus on its practical benefits of it. It's in Kol Dido Fake when you read it. Very, very moving and very, very powerful. What the State of Israel is able to offer us. Oddly enough, as some point out, Satmar Neturei Karta, the Rav and the Tzvi Yehuda do share one very important thing in common. The State of Israel, the birth of the State of Israel, was an enormously significant event. It was not Stam. It was not an insignificant historical event. This was a major, major shift. For the Rav Yehuda, it was a major shift in a positive direction. Jewish sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael for the first time in thousands of years. That's an amazing shift in a positive way. It may lead us to have a day like Yom HaTzmaut, which we will be Ezra Hashem celebrate on Tuesday. It's going to be an opportunity for us to daven differently as a result of a halal and the like. And for Samar Trikarta, it was also a very significant event. The fact that Jews are in control of Eretz Yisrael again for the first time in thousands of years, that's not insignificant either. That's also very important. It happens to be that it's very important in a very negative way, but they all share in common that you can look at this and say it's not that significant. What we often sometimes have a hard time pinning down, and I want to focus a little bit, are in between there. What we would call maybe a mainstream yeshivish kind of a view, the Haredi parties in Eretz Yisrael and the Knesset, it's hard to pin those things down a little bit. How do they relate to the state? So they're not going to really celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, and they're going to say Tachanun. They are going to vote in elections. You may have, and Rav Yashiv was very significant for this, you're going to have Haredi Rabbanim who are going to be chief rabbis of Israel, and Dayanim in courts, and you're going to be involved in a certain sense in the state. You're going to have a Haredi Tsar, or a person who's running the health ministry. But on the other hand, you're not going to celebrate. So what exactly is that? And you're not going to find that. It almost seems like, unlike Sadmer, and unlike the world of Tzvi Yehuda, and maybe the Rav, where it's a major, significant event, it's almost like, so what is it? What is the state of Israel? And I say that not because it's the approach that we per se are embracing, but as members of Klal Yisrael wanting to understand Klal Yisrael, so sometimes we focus a lot on one camp. We want to focus a little bit here in the middle. If we had a lot more time, we'd speak about the Panav Izarov, who was much more sympathetic towards Zionism. We could speak about, we'll reference the Stipler a little bit. Rav Eliashiv and the Stipler were not really the same, but we're going to focus there on the Chazon Ish. Why are we focusing on the Chazon Ish? So one of the reasons is because it could be there is no figure as significant for dictating, impacting Haredi Jewry's take on Eretz Yisrael as the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, and this is going to get some sort of a hakdama here, two points that are important to know. Number one, the Chazon Ish moves to Eretz Yisrael before the creation of the state. An interesting letter here, the Chazon Ish and his, the Chazon Ish had no children. A very interesting, complex relationship he had with his wife. Chazon Ish did not work. Chazon Ish just learned all day. He had no official position his whole life. He was not a Rosh Yeshiva. He didn't even really attend Yeshiva. He attended Yeshiva for a very, very short amount of time, either Volozhin or Brisk, different versions of where he went. In the journal HaMayam by Shalvim, they have an article where he timed it very clearly. He was one of them and the other. But he did not last in Yeshiva very long at all. He's not a product of Yeshivas that much, and he had no official position. He didn't work. The only way he made any money was by selling his Sfarim. His wife ran a small store. She ran like a shmata store. The Chazon Ish moved to Eretz Yisrael, not for Zionistic reasons, for halachic reasons. Source number two, Kovitz Igor, Chazon Ish, Chelik Aleph there, he writes the Pesachei Tshuva quotes some Achronim. He wants to move to Eretz Yisrael to be in the midst of Eretz Yisrael. But Pesachei Tshuva says you can only move to Eretz Yisrael if you are able to support yourself in Eretz Yisrael. So he's writing someone in Eretz Yisrael. He wants to know, can my wife open a store there? Like our stores like that, where they sell like shmatas, cloth, things like that. I think that's what she did. Are able to open stores there. She's unable to do anything else. And he writes, I can't work at all. I don't know how to do this. The Chazon Ish was a very sickly person, especially when he was younger. He was very, very tired. He was an umel, we can't understand, on an intense level. The Chazon Ish was not someone who was, as a child, he was viewed as he was sick. He was not strong, powerful, and the Chazon Ish was not something that, as far as that realm of life, of the work. He helped his wife sometimes in the store, but primarily was not what he was. Was not what he was doing. He went, no, okay, move to Eretz Yisrael. Move to Eretz Yisrael. I think the way that one of the mices goes is that his wife's store, maybe there was a fire in the store, and all her merchandise burned. And he said, well, now that we have no parnasa and chutz la'aretz, we might as well go to Eretz Yisrael, because, you know, let's go for it. The Chazon Ish, the reason why he was so important for dictating is he moved to Eretz Yisrael before the creation of the state, and he becomes the major figure around the creation of the state. when he first comes to Eretz Yisrael, he's not as significant. Reb Chaim Ozer is the one who backs him a little bit and pushes him to be more involved. He becomes very important for paskening for kibbutzes, hilchos, shmita, and shvias. Reb Cook has one mahalach, Reb Chaim has other mahalachim. Shalavim, kibbutz shalavim, follows the psakim of the Chazon Ish. That's why if you're here for a Shemitah year, we have certain chumras in the area based on the Chazon Ish. That's because we come from Poel Gerus Yisrael, we come from Shem Mahalach. That's that. One of the other reasons, he's not just the Gadol in Eretz Yisrael at that time, or one of the main Gadolim. If you look in source number 3, they both speak of this. Chazon Ish has a very intense Mahalach in Das Torah. He's writing here to an Israeli politician, and he writes the Shita to separate Torah between regular life and Isser V'Heter. Ki'ilu only in Isser V'Heter, you have to listen to Rabbanim, but not in regular life. He writes here, and it's very intense. To leave other things, lahasher lechofesh b'chiras and b'chelak hasheni, he has shita yishanah shel haminim b'riyas hayad to Ashkenaz. That is the heretics of that approach, that you shouldn't follow rabbanim in non iser v'heter issues. And he writes like this: it's a very intense line. Hafla ben horas iser v'heter lehoras hagedarim hagzeros hafla zohi gilei panim b'torah. If you reject the power of rabbanim to decide lots of different things, you are mivada tamid hachamim v'nimnim ben elu. So the Chazon Ish is the Gadol at that time, and he holds and pushes and writes very strongly that you have to have the Gadolim being the ones who determine things. So when you speak about Medinas Yisrael and what the perspective is going to be in Haredi world after Yisrael, Chazon Ish is a major, major figure because he's the guy at the founding of the state, and he's the guy, and he's the one who holds that it's so influential and so impactful. So let's talk about his actual shita a little bit to try to be clear. Number one, before the state is created, there are different shmuas and different svarim. The Chazon Ish did not predict that the state was going to last for so long. One day he said maybe it'll last for a year because the Gemara says treifa inachaya, that a treifa can't live for more than a year. Other svarim, maybe it'll last a little bit longer. When it comes out, there are different shmuas, but it seems Bini Brown tries to argue, and Maisa Ishi has a footnote, he talks about this a little bit also. Chazon Ish is fairly quiet around the founding of the state. As far as articulating a clear hashkafa, how you relate to things, the Chazon Ish is fairly quiet. Why is he quiet? Not entirely so clear. One svara, he suggests, maybe, well, if it's not so clear how long it's going to last, maybe we shouldn't talk about it the same way. Chazon Ish in general was on the quiet end. He's not one of those people, I say this as like in an extreme way, you know, who's like every second thing happens in the world, he's posting something on Facebook so you can have his day on and what happened. Chazon Ish is not from that world. He's from the world that is far from that world in every way. He has one line here when he was asked why he doesn't talk about it. So he says, Eisla Daber ve'Eislashto. Sometimes you have to be quiet. Just like there's a Shulchan Aruch about when to speak, Yeh Shulchan Aruch matai tzarech lishto. You have to know when to be quiet. And he was fairly quiet about things. What was the Chazon Ish's general mahalach? So there's another, aside from Benny Brown's book, which was a good Ben Asmanim Sefer, there's another academic book that Benny Brown was an editor of, which came out called HaGedolim. It's academic articles on different Gedolim. A lot of the stuff is very, very interesting. I didn't go through all of it, but a lot of it's very interesting. Mark Shapiro has an article about the Stipler, where he describes, I just want to give a bit of a Hakdama, maybe for a second. The Chazon Ish, what is interesting about the Chazon Ish, but allowed to be so impactful, is how it relates to the state. The Chazon Ish is very, very conservative. He's very traditional. The Chazon Ish is very opposed to something like Yom HaShoah, to establishing Yom HaShoah. That's source number 10 on the sheet. He doesn't like establishing new things the same way. We don't have the power for those things. Chazon Ish is a very, very conservative person at his core. He's also very practical. He's also very practical. When you look in certain Svarim, and the Stipler, who is his brother-in-law, is the Chazon's brother, the Stipler is clearer about this, that they perceive the state as something which is very bad. The line that's attributed to the Chazon Ish is that the state of Israel is not Ischalta de Geula, the state of Israel is Sof HaGalus. It's the end of exile, meaning it's like almost like that darkest point in the night. The way the Stipler said, so part of it is, it's not that they viewed the state as being so good. Their involvement in the state is, I may view it as being as really being fairly negative. But he's a pragmatist. He's someone who is practical. and therefore I want to make sure that I'm going to be there. The way the stipler, I believe, said it in one place, Chazal has a similar kind of an idea. It's no different than being under any government that may theoretically oppress the Jews. You want to do whatever you can to position yourself as being as good as possible. So whereas in the world of Sodom or the world of Brisk, we're not getting misyaches to the state of Israel. Chazal can say, I want to be misyaches to it because it's there, and even though I may be against it, I want to be misyaches to it. Has it relate to Yom HaAtzmaut in the state? Let's point out a couple of things about Yom HaAtzmaut. As far as Yom HaAtzmaut goes, the Chazon Ish is not observing Yom HaAtzmaut. He is saying Tachanun on Yom HaAtzmaut. I think of Rosenzweig once joked that, this is a joke, that the mocker for saying Tachanun on Yom HaAtzmaut is that Rav Amram Gaon holds that you say Tachanun even on Purim. So sometimes, if I can take a special day, it doesn't mean you don't say Tachanun. That's not the actual pshat. The reason why I'm saying Tachanun is because it's a regular day. Akedekach, the Chazon Ish held, if you look also in source number 5 in Maisa Ish, the Chazon Ish held Akedekach that when he was a sandik at a bris, normally when you're a sandik at a bris, they don't say Tachanun in the minyan. The Chazon Ish held when he was a sandik at a bris, they would still say Tachanun in his minyan. So no one should think that he's not saying Tachanun because of Yom HaAtzmaut. Chaim Kanievsky added that was on a day where he was even a sandik 3 times. And he was still, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a bris. Rabbi Elman, no, off by day. Rabbi Elman from Etz Bakol, if people know him at all, has a bris on Sunday in, I think, Baruch Chaim Kanievsky. On Monday, so he's off by one day. I think they're trying to change it, and now they won't talk to him because it's so clear that we're not going to Yom HaAtzmaut, that there's no longer even a chashash of what's gonna happen. But in general, he is someone who was not honoring the day, not respecting the day. But at the same time, the Chazon Ish is practical. The Chazon Ish holds it's a chiyuv to vote. He wrote that. It's quoted in also there, I think, in source number. I forget where it is, but it's quoted somewhere on our sheet. One second. I don't remember. It's quoted in source number 12. Chazon Ish from Sefer Shari Aaron. The Chazon Ish wrote it not only is a mutter, but you're chayav to go vote to have Haredi members of the Knesset because we want them to be able to pragmatic, we want them to be able to do things. That ends up leading to a very, very famous meeting, which is a meeting which is well known in the history of Eretz Yisrael, which is a meeting between Ben-Gurion and the Chazon Ish. David Ben-Gurion is the first prime minister of Eretz Yisrael, I assume that we know that, and Ben-Gurion comes to visit the Chazon Ish. There are not many eyewitnesses to the meeting, but there are a lot of reports as far as exactly what happened. I'll give you one of the versions that's more in the Yeshivish Sfarim. Ben-Gurion came to... let me add one point first. Chazon Ish is very opposed, much as he wants to vote, and the Chazon Ish wants to have a role there, and in that sense, it's a certain he's very opposed, certainly, to the government. Not only the Tachna piece of the observance, he's very nervous about a lot of different things. Chazon Ish is very nervous about the drafting, in particular, of women and Shirut Lumi. A lot of letters in Kovetz Igros against Shirut Lumi. Akedei Kach, at the Chazon Ish, this is a very intense letter. If you look in source number 13 in Chela Gimel, the Kovetz Igros, Ritzoni Lefarish Dati, talking about the government, he writes, any vote for Shirut Lumi for girls is usser. Shirut Lumi, for those of us, I think we all know what that is, but just in case we don't, Shirut Lumi is girls, instead of going to the army, have the ability to perform some sort of a national service. Not going to the army, for some sort of national service, very popular in the Dati Lumi world for women to be able to do that. He writes as follows, it's usser to vote for Shirut Lumi, even if as a result of voting for Shirut Lumi, you will avoid a lot of other losses. Says the Chazon Ish, just like if someone's going to tell you, kill one of your kids, or else I'm going to kill the rest of your family. It's usser to kill one of your kids to save the rest. It is usser to vote for Shirut Lumi, to vote pro Shirut Lumi. He argues very strongly against this. The Ben-Gurion understands and hears that the Chazon Ish is the guy to talk to about this, about in general issues relating to the Haredi world. Ben-Gurion comes to visit the Chazon Ish. Ben-Gurion, Prime Minister of Israel, is coming to the Chazon Ish. This is a very, very famous meeting. And again, it's the Chazon Ish who is against many things, other things, and maybe even Bashkafa, very much against things, but understands that we're allowed to relate to it. It is there, b'metzias, and you can't define it. He gives even like a... the Rav said about the Brisker Rav, the reason why the Brisker Rav was unable to the brisk took no money from the government. It was totally nothing like that. It was because the brisket rav was the pure isha halacha, and the isha halacha, there was no construct for what the state of Israel is. He couldn't define it, and therefore couldn't relate to it. Couldn't be misyachis to it. The chaznis was able to misyachis to it. That's a discussion about the rav's hesped there. But the chaznis meets with him, and he's able to be engaged in it. Chaznis understood, if you look at the end, in source number five there, that you can't deny it. You can't deny it. It's like if someone is like the muscle, I think, along the lines of someone's punching you in the face, and you know that they're punching you in the face, you wouldn't say, oh my gosh, you're recognizing their existence. They're punching you in the face. Like, their existence is fairly clear. And it's not, again, I don't think it's akadikach as intense as that, but I'm not sure it's much less, I don't know if it's much less intense than that, but that is the, that's that. So Ben-Gurion comes. And the meaning for Ben-Gurion, the way Ben-Gurion describes, I believe, is less about specifics, and more about, let's talk about how are Chilonim and Haredim, how are they going to be able to get along in the state? What exactly is going to happen? And Chaznis responds with a very, very famous mashal. This mashal tells you a lot also about how he views and how he relates to things. The Chaznis said the following. He quoted the Gemara in Masech Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara says the Chaznis, what happens, said to the Ben-Gurion, I'll tell you a mashal how we're going to get together. When you have two wagons that are... that are coming. Apparently, this meeting was a meeting that the Chaznis prepared for a lot. He viewed as a very intense meeting. So he said as follows: There are two boats going through a wagon. One of them has merchandise. One of them is full, and one of them is not full. So which one goes first? The one that is full goes first. Said the Chaznis to Ben Gurion, there are two boats. There are two boats right now. One is the one of Sfinas Yisrael Saba. One is the boat of Haredi Jewry. That's the one that has Alfei Shanim Shel Mesiris Nefesh, Makim Torah Mitzvos. That's the one that's loaded. That's the one that has a lot on it. And now we're getting to a point where the Sfina of the Chilonim, which is the Sfina that is empty, it is Reik. Which one takes precedence? So the one that is full always takes precedence. That was the line that he had to Ben Gurion. That was a line that is used in two different directions. If you're a Haredi Jew, that's a line which is a triumphant kind of a line. We are the full one. It's going to give you a certain sense of chashivas. It's all really about us. It's also going to be one which, if you're Chiloni, you're going to view as a condescending approach that does not recognize the contributions that we make at all, if you're Chiloni, you would say, to the importance and significance of the state. But as far as the Chaznis' take, that is somewhat telling as far as a little bit of the way that he viewed it. Let me try in Chazer, because I know it's late and my phone died. Let me try in Chazer a little bit, just so we can have an idea of what we spoke about. Maybe I'll end with just a nekuda or two. What we're trying to is contextualize the Chaznis. It's very easy to speak about a world. It's easier, and we identify with a world that's Zionistic, a world that values it, a world that's going to celebrate Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach this Monday night. We celebrate it in a variety of different ways, which we value, and we tend to take seriously, from the world of Salvechik to the world of Tzvi Yehuda, different versions as far as what exactly that looks like. If you're Satmar into a cart and the like, it's a different kind of a mahalach where it's a terrible thing and you're going to respond in a different way. What you have when you're somewhere in the middle is trickier. It's a world of elements of B'nai Brak, and Chaznis is one of the more important figures. He's dictating a lot of policy early state, and he's one that's going to set the tone for a lot of things. While the Chaznis did not necessarily publish, this is what exactly I think about it, same way he wrote a lot of halachas for him, same way he had in Mut B'Tachon in certain letters, we can piece together a little bit his general orientation towards the state. Chaznis was someone who was who did have a, on the one hand, a fairly negative view towards a lot of what was happening. It was not a positive thing. On the other hand, he was someone that was very open to dealing with it and working with it and functioning within that context. That's different, again, than the world of Panovich. Panovich is a Rav. You know, there's a flag of Panovich every year in Yom HaTzmut. A little bit of a... Again, that's not all he was. It's more complex than that. But the Chaznis was someone who was dealing with it. His general orientation was one that seems to have been fairly negative and pessimistic about the ability of the state to last long term. He also seems to be someone that, on the one hand, was not observing the day at all, but it doesn't mean that he wasn't someone that viewed these things as the ability to play a role within the government. One of the reasons why I want to talk about it today is that we want to become familiar with what's going on in the state of Israel. That means to be familiar with what's going on in the Dati Lumi world. We try often in Shirim to quote Dati Lumi Rabbanim that maybe we're less familiar with. You want to be aware of certain ideas about secular Zionism, but it's obviously very, very important to be aware of the way a lot of Orthodox Jewry does relate to the State of Israel. A couple of years ago, we spoke about some middle approaches from Putner, from Yaakov Weinberg, and from others in America, but the Chazon Ish is a dominant figure for these things. The Chazon Ish presents a model of working with it. I'll just give you a couple of questions. The struggle you're going to have post-Chazon Ish is going to be a struggle of how do we deal in certain practical situations. So one machlokas a bit, the Stipler was very opposed, this Mark points out, and Rav Eliashiv much less so. Do you want to have a Haredi Dayanim in the rabbinical court system? Do you want to have a Rav HaRashi who's going to be more Haredi or not? Those are going to be major questions about how much you have the balance between recognizing and not recognizing. When do you have pshara, when do you not? We are dealing right now in Eretz Yisrael, if you follow the news a little bit, with Shmirah Shabbos in Tel Aviv. Courts about whether in Tel Aviv they should be allowed to open stores on Shabbos and the like, and whether Haredi parties should, as a result, leave the coalition. Over that, a lot of those are remnants of Chazon Ish type issues. When do I leave? Sheirut Lumi type issues. When do I stay and compromise? Rav Shach, when it came to disengagement and some other issues there, to understand well, you know, the general orientation, just to even follow politics, and there's well, as far as Torah Hashkafa, different perspectives, definitely a lot here that is going on. We will be learning the Chazon Ish. We're going to speak a little bit about Inyanei Emunah with the Chazon Ish. We'll speak a little bit about Inyanei Emunas Chachamim. We'll speak a lot of interesting things, and Amelus B'Torah, and we'll contrast. In general, we try to put him in context. That's why tonight we tried to give a little bit of context, but normally it's less focused, just the Chazon Ish. We develop multiple approaches, but hopefully as far as our preparation for Yom HaTzimut, I don't know if we're living in the world of the Chazon Ish, but while it may not be the approach that we are necessarily embracing, it is one that I think is important to be familiar with, and one that's worthwhile to know about. Shkari, guys, have a wonderful night.